Blog Talk Radio.
Changing Direction with Michelle Rosenthal is sponsored by Timberline Knolls Residential Treatment Center. Want to change who you are and how you live? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Changing Direction with me, Michelle Rosenthal, where every show is all about how you can create the change you choose. On every episode, we combine scientific research, cutting-edge guests, and personal stories that highlight the challenges and successes of deliberately deciding to change the direction of your life. Now, let's start making your change possible. Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Changing Direction, your source for how to heal trauma and post-traumatic stress disorder. I am your host, Michelle Rosenthal, post-trauma coach and the founder of HealMyPTSD.com, the place where survivors, caregivers, and yes, even healing professionals go for information, cutting-edge research, and ideas for how to feel better and reclaim your life after trauma. And I want to thank you so much for joining me on today's show, which is, as always, an exploration. I just like to keep researching. I am a research fiend. It started during my PTSD and post-trauma experience. I needed knowledge. I needed to understand. I needed to learn so that I could figure out what to do to feel better. And then even though I finished my recovery and I've been completely free of symptoms for so many years now, I can't help it. I still keep wanting to learn. And I think it's because I like passing it on. I like interviewing survivors and professionals to talk about what might help you in your recovery. What little piece of the puzzle can we give you today? And you see where it fits. And today's show, like all of our shows, is based on that idea. Here's another person, another thought, another piece of the puzzle. Let's see if and how and where and when and in what way it fits for you so that you can move forward. So today's guest is, well, you're just going to admire her so much because I already do, and I know you. I know you like guests who really, really get what it means to go through trauma and then figure out how do we rebuild a life now. So I will introduce you to her in just one moment. I want to remind you that the Heal My PTSD Forum is open, and it's also free at healthunlocked.com/HealMyPTSD.com. We have hundreds of members engaged in a really, such a positive conversation. My sole goal with launching the Heal My PTSD Forum was to provide a place where everyone could go be completely anonymous if you choose, and yet be real. Talk to people who get it. Understand that there are others who know this isn't all in your head. And a place where you could ask questions and get guidance and just be able to say how you're feeling and know, okay, all these people are going to know exactly what I mean. So please, 24/7, join us in the Heal My PTSD Forum at healthunlocked.com/HealMyPTSD. And now I want to introduce you to today's guest. Her name is Leticia Yusefpolsky. And I'm saying it slowly to make sure I get it right. But Leticia exemplifies how hope and faith can absolutely transcend even the worst tragedies. On Christmas Eve 2008, she lost her parents, 4 siblings, and several other family members to a mass homicide. And as she has traveled her road of recovery from unimaginable loss and trauma, Many people have found inspiration in her unquenchable spirit, and I know why, because you can hear her spirit the moment she starts speaking. Even before the tragedy, Letitia wanted to help people, so now she is determined to use her personal tragedy to encourage others, and she uses her positive spirit and her manner of connecting with people to encourage them to move forward through their own life struggles, and that, of course, is everything that we're all about here on Changing Direction Radio. So it is my extreme pleasure to welcome Letitia. Welcome to Changing Direction Radio.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Thank you,
Letitia,
for having me.
Letitia, you say your name to make sure I pronounced it. It's Letitia Uzespolsky, correct?
Yes, you have it right. Well, some people pronounce it. It's actually properly pronounced as Letitia.
Oh, Letitia.
Many people call me Letitia. It's okay.
Well, for all the time that we spent on the phone, I should have asked you that before we launched into today's show.
No
and
worries.
I'm sorry.
No,
I'm a stickler
no
for saying
all,
things
no
right. All right.
Well, thank you
so,
for having me.
I'm so glad that you're here. I think it's so important what you're doing to speak out because obviously you've been through something enormously traumatic. And to lose that many family members in such a quick moment in such a horrific way would be devastating. So I'd really like to focus in our conversation today. I think we all understand the backstory enough. I'd like to focus on really how that experience changed you and then how you changed again, because today you're doing some great things with LetitiasHope.com and all of the other activities that you're engaged in. So I'd really like to focus on how you made the change. Let's begin by paint the picture for me. What did going through this trauma do to transform you? So maybe give me a little overview of who you were before the trauma and then who you became afterward.
Good question. Well, I believe that prior to the tragedy, I was already kind of finding this deep connection with my faith. And I will say this, a couple of years prior to the tragedy, I read Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that, I believe, provided me a sense of foundation and definitely purpose when the tragedy occurred. Knowing that I had read that book and knowing that I was kind of on this already spiritual journey. And, you know, my parents, you know, I'm Catholic and my parents, you know, raised as Catholic, but they weren't very practicing. So I just had I felt just a connection with my faith, but without having to be really practicing in it. And so when I read that book, it really provided that sense of foundation for me with trying to figure out what my purpose was in life. And, you know, at the time, you know, I've been a stay-at-home mom. You know, I've been married to my husband now almost 17 years. And, you know, my role was just all about my family, just being the best mom, the best, you know, wife, daughter, all those things. And I was also working as a doula at the time, prior to the tragedy, shortly before. And I just felt like I needed to just be connected with people and help people in some way. And when the tragedy happened, I just felt like, what is going to happen to me? My identity is pretty much lost because all of the people that have known me prior to being a mom and a wife was, you know, were my family members, and that were my four siblings and the youngest of five children, and all my siblings I lost, and my parents, and my sisters-in-law, and my nephew. So for me, it was just so devastating, and going through that experience of going, like, who am I now? Mm. What am I going to do now? Yes, I'm a mom, and I know I need to focus all of my attention on my children and my husband, but what about me and who I was connected to and who I was before? And that person, I feel I thought I had lost, but at the same time, that person was this strong, courageous person that needed to come out, and that was the person that my parents, I believe, helped me become, my family, the legacy, everything that they built to create this strong bond, this strong foundation of family unity came onto me. And that's what really motivated me to get through this, to overcome. And that person of being a mom and a wife and all those things just put together gave me even more purpose. So it was just this direction of me persevering and trying to do the best that I could to help put all that energy in fighting for family. Fighting for the continued family bond and nurturing that and making sure that everyone, my nieces and nephews included, those that were orphaned, would have that same strong, you know, courage and power to overcome and continue that love and unity. I just felt like this person who did this to us did this, but will not continue to destroy us as we are alive, even though that he, you know, took the lives of our family, that he wouldn't be able to continue to control us and destroy the rest of our lives, of our spirits, and everything that my parents built.
Well, you talk about having a purpose. That certainly is a strong one. That was just so beautiful, the way you organized all of that and the way you expressed it. I would like to sort of go back for a moment and explore one of my favorite things to talk about is the question, who am I now? And you referenced it. You brought it up. I think all of us as survivors really, I know I struggled with that. It was such a hard question for me. As someone who had been traumatized as a kid, I hadn't had a chance to build an identity yet. I was 13, so technically we build identity between 13 and 18, so I didn't have an opportunity to build an identity based on anything outside of trauma. And then for years of all my PTSD crazy years, I was always keeping journals. And when I look back in them now, I can see how many pages I just kept writing over and over the same thing. Who am I now? Who am I now? Who am I now? It's so hard. Did you find that question a burden, or was it sort of part of what allowed you to continue to define your purpose?
I believe it kind of continued to define my purpose. I felt very strong in knowing that I was going to be okay. I knew that from, you know, being in the hospital with my daughter and not knowing exactly what was going to happen to her, but I knew me personally within my spirit that I was going to be okay. And but I needed to know, I just didn't know how I was going to get there. It was kind of this knowing. And you know, I think that having this determination, I don't know, I really don't know. I don't know if it's just my spirit and how I am. I don't like feeling fear or something holding me back. Anytime that I feel something is holding me back from being joyful or having, you know, love in my life, I really try to, you know, run through those barriers and you know, push them down. So anytime I felt fear or even anxiety or any type of emotion that would make me not move forward, I would have to take a step back to process and then know that just getting back into my spirit and being grounded and knowing that, you know, we continue to move, life keeps going forward, and it's up to us to figure out how we're going to take that next step. We're the ones who get to choose, right? And that was my mindset of, I have a choice here to either allow this to, you know, completely take me down, and then if it takes me down, then it will take possibly the rest of my family down, my children, you know, emotionally and in other ways. And I felt like I had to just be that strong example, and I couldn't allow that to happen to me and to my family. So it was, okay, just, you know, gather your thoughts, your feelings, what are you going to do next? And, you know, there were moments, of course, that I felt awful and bad and alone, but I knew they were part of the healing process. It was kind of like I knew, you know, that had to kind of happen to just allow that to just heal or move through my body, and then I felt like, okay, I didn't push myself too much, and I would just kind of learn and grow and then move forward. And being patient that way really helped me, you know, go through.
You're bringing
it up.
That is such a great point. Patience is so critical. My guest today is Leticia Yusef-Polsky. You can find out more about her at leticiashope.com, and I'm going to spell that just to make sure it's easy to find. LeticiasHope.com, leticiashope.com. Leticia, you've hit on so many really important topics. That idea of that strong feeling of knowing, of having to deal with the feeling of fear, of having to take a step back to process, and also stepping forward then into your spirit. I want to sort of take these one at a time and just color in the lines there, because I think they're each really critical. So, for example, you felt this strong sense of knowing. Describe it, and what allowed you to trust it?
Okay. You know, and I'll just kind of walk through that moment with you. I was actually in the hospital with my daughter, and this is after this horrible night of, you know, just terror. And I'm alone with my daughter and, you know, the rest of my family. You know, we left, you know, my other daughter and my husband had to stay back, and I ended up leaving the ambulance with my niece and my daughter. And when we got to the hospital, you know, I felt very much in control. I was in panic, but at the same time, I felt very much in control to know what I needed to do next. And whether it was just this gut feeling, I knew in that moment of waiting in the waiting room while my daughter was taken in to intensive care, I just was by myself. No one was with me at the time. And I had this moment of just feeling like, here I am, I'm in a desperate place where I'm praying for my daughter to come out of, you know, her surgery and everything, you know, that she was going through, and praying for the rest of my family. But I just, in that moment, I just felt like, you're going to be fine. You're going to be okay. You're going to come out of this. And, you know, I was just like I was talking to myself. You know, in the moment I was feeling so desperate, at the same time I was hearing this other voice telling me, you're going to be okay. Just be strong. And that was where I felt this, you know, more like determination to stay in control, do what I needed to do, focus on the next minute, the next hour, the next day. Don't go back right now. It was kind of like you can't even look, don't look back, because you won't be able to go forward. And that was where my focus was. My focus was just on that next moment, being in control and trying to remember and hold on to that voice that said, you're going to be okay.
I love that. Of course, in that moment, that was the best possible thing to do. And I'm thinking at some point, you, in order to make peace with the past, I'm assuming at some point you allowed yourself to look back. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, you know, in the moment, obviously, in those hours and first days, it's you're in survival mode. And you know, although I knew that, you know, I had lost my family, I knew that they weren't alive. There was nothing I could do about that. There was nothing I could do to bring them back. So my next focus and priority was to make sure my daughter was okay and she was going to physically heal, you know, and that my other daughter would be, you know, feeling okay and being emotionally, you know, stable, and everything that I can do to nurture that and nurture my, you know, daughter and my husband and the rest of my family. So that motivated me. It was like, if I knew in my spirit that I was going to be okay, then the rest of my energy will go towards helping them heal. And that motivation, though, is what kept pushing me forward. You know,
I love it.
What pulled me through.
It's so interesting because I think that happens so often, and this ties into what you're talking about, purpose. If we can find a way to focus the mind on doing something, we can really support our own survival and healing process. Because so often post-traumatic stress disorder and other post-traumatic issues are driven by a sense of powerlessness, helplessness. And you, in the most critical moments, were very in touch with your power. You use the word control. You use the word spirit, knowing. You were very in touch with, I got this. And I think that's really critical. I know I had to learn to be like that in order to heal. And I so admire that you were able to do that in the most critical moment, which doesn't mean you don't feel frightened because you referenced that, and it doesn't mean you don't feel upset, but it does mean you hold yourself in a place that allows you to keep taking an action. And it's in the actions that I really believe we save ourselves. Answering the question, who am I think starts with being able to take an action. So when you talk about fear, how did you deal with the fear? You said you don't like feeling fear or anything holding you back. In the moments that you feel those things, what do you do to move through that feeling?
Well, you know, there were, you know, there's obviously different moments of that I've experienced fear, but I feel very, I guess, you know, in those first moments of that night, you know, I had a moment of disassociation. So during the time that I was hearing gunshots, I guess I responded and reacted and did something that didn't actually happen. So I, you know, had thought I had climbed under the table and was holding onto my mom's legs and was hiding and helping her and telling her to get down and duck. And at the same time, that didn't even happen. And I didn't know that that didn't happen until days later. And so that was my recollection of what those moments were like for me. And then suddenly, you know, I'm outside in the backyard and I basically come into my body, I want to say, and realized, you know, where are my children? Where's my husband? You know, I look and they're with me. And for those few days, that was kind of like the only thought, that gap was what happened to the moment that I was under, you know, the table, and how did I get out of there, and how did I end up outside? So it was just that disassociation that I believe that immediate fear and terror took my spirit out of where my body was. And my body did one thing, and my spirit did another. And what really happened was that my husband said something. He doesn't quite remember exactly the exact words, but it was just like, grab the children, get out, let's get out of here, something like that. And, you know, we ran out. And I don't remember any of that. And I don't remember, you know, grabbing the kids. I believe they just kind of followed us out. And that's how we got out. And the moment that I kind of came back into my body, I was terrified, of course, but I felt, like I said, in control, kind of directing them as to what to do next. And some of my other family members were with me. I was, like, so thankful to see them. And at the same time, then kind of directing what we were going to do next. That fear was just like I had to kind of just focus on, you know, what my spirit needs to do next. It's like, what is it that right now we need to do to survive? And I don't know. That's how I've kind of continued. It's, I challenge myself. When I feel fear, I just feel like, no, this is negative. This isn't good. And this isn't going to get me through what I really need to do. And I'll have those feelings, and I will be fearful. There are certain things that I'm still afraid of, but I try to work through it and not let it control my life.
My guest today is Leticia Yuzef-Polsky. You can find out more about her at leticiashope.com. Leticia, we only have a few moments left. Tell me what you're doing with leticiashope.com and the rest of what you're doing to reach out and help others.
Oh, well, I decided to start a website, a blog site, to try to connect with others and hopefully give some kind of inspiration. Just over the past few years, you know, people have asked me to come and speak, whether it's in a classroom setting or for a grief organization. And, you know, I didn't realize that as I was living and moving through life, people were kind of, you know, paying attention and watching how I was raising my kids and just doing life. And through that, people would approach me and say, you know, you're an inspiration, and would say these words that were just like, really? Like, I'm just doing what I think I need to do, you know, to move on and find joy and do all of that. And I guess in the process of connecting with people and sharing, they found some form of healing or inspiration and motivation to also get through their struggles and challenges in life. So it just put me through that next phase of, you know, I'm writing a book right now, and actually, you know, we have it, and hopefully we'll find a publisher out there. I've got an agent and writer that's helped me, you know, get this going. And through that, it just made me feel like, well, you know, if I don't find a publisher, if this doesn't work for me to touch other people's lives and help other people heal through my story, then I could have a blog and people can connect that way with me. And I'll just share how life is going for me right now and how I've been able to overcome and heal.
Such a great thing that you're doing. Leticia, we're all out of time, but I just want to thank you so much for shining your light, which actually you can hear in your voice, and it's one of the reasons I was really excited to be able to share your voice with our listeners today. So I want to thank you for being here, and thank you for being you, and for taking your experience. You tell me if this resonates with you. I found in my trauma, I couldn't make meaning, you know, I couldn't find a meaning in it. I really looked. But I could make meaning come out of it, and that's what I've spent a lot of time doing, turning it into something that was useful. And it sort of feels to me like you're doing the same thing. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely. It is. It's to know that my parents or my family spirit continues, and I just, you know, sharing, connecting with others, it heals me. It helps me heal. You know, hearing other people's stories and knowing that, you know, other people are having similar experiences to mine or having those same emotions and feelings, and we're all doing life together, you know. So that's what I feel like, you know, this is how we share and we connect with other people, and we learn and grow.
It's so true. I laugh because I love what you said. We're all doing life together. Isn't that the truth?
Yes.
So it's been my pleasure to do life with you for the past half hour. And let's stay
Thank
in touch
you.
Because I really would like to.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate it. And I'm continuing to learn from you, Michelle.
Awesome. All right. Well, then we'll continue to learn together. And I will catch up with you later. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you. Thanks, Michelle. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, so you see why I love her? She's been through something horrible that you wouldn't wish on anybody, and yet she stayed grounded in herself. And I know in just a short interview, we can't really get underneath to how that happens and the devastation that you have to go through to be able to get to that place, and how we all know you go two steps forward, one step back in recovery. But at the end of the day, Leticia's whole perspective is what I admire so much. Her willingness to say, yes, this was awful, and really the thing that I need to focus on now, my purpose, is just to say, what's the next thing I'm going to do? And so for you, too, here's your healing thought of the week. You can take it from anything that Leticia said. I'll also add to it with this tiny little excerpt from my forthcoming book from W.W. Norton, coming out next month on March 16th, but you can pre-order it now. Publishers love that. The book is called Your Life After Trauma, Powerful Practices to Reclaim Your Identity. And here's the thought of the week. A major aspect of constructing your post-trauma identity will be recreating a sense of order and integration among all of yourselves. This begins by pulling your past selves into contact with your present self. And I don't mean different personalities. I mean within your one personhood, all the fragments that shattered because of the trauma, pulling them together and then into connection with who you are today. So, for example, here's your challenge. Examine a present-day situation and then imagine how your past self, real or imagined, might handle it. And what useful qualities would that self possess? How can you embody them today as you continue forward? Because you have enormous healing potential. The goal is learning to access it. You can do this. Dig deep. I believe in you.
You can conquer the past and create your future.
For more information about Changing Direction Radio and to listen to our free archives and podcasts, visit changeyouchoose.com.